You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is a good friend, a dear friend, a former El Pasoan, Joel Salcido. And Joel is here to talk about an exhibit that opens up tomorrow at the Centennial Museum, featuring a book, The Spirit of Tequila, and also Aliento, a Tequila. That's an exhibit that's going to feature various photographs that Joel has taken over the years. And this is a great story that he tells through the lens. And of course, you know, they say that a picture tells 1,000 words. Well, there are millions of words. These pictures are awesome. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about that. But also, before we get started, we want to welcome you, Joel, and thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Louis. It's by far a phenomenal homecoming that you're giving me, so I'm very appreciative of that, not only in terms of UTIP since I graduated here, but also your friendship of many years and the battles that we shared along the way.
Thank you very much. Tell me a little bit about, you worked as a photographer for the El Paso Times, and we know working in news, we get different assignments all the time. And then you left in 1991, and you went off on your own. And since then, so much has happened. You've been to Spain. You have this incredible exhibit. You have some incredible pictures online. Tell me a little bit about how did that change from not knowing what you're going to take a picture of, news, sometimes action, sometimes spot news, sometimes it's something that you're just waiting and waiting outside of a courthouse for somebody to come out. And then all of a sudden, you go out on your own and you decide what you're going to take pictures of.
Well, you know, that obviously being employed in this case with the El Paso Times for 10 years, you're an employee, so you are assigned, you know, like you were at one time, daily assignments that give you a full spectrum of humanity. It's a wonderful experience to go through that because you go through the highs and lows of who we are in terms of a community or a city. It represents everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we all become part of that. So by the time I left, or right before the time I left the El Paso Times, within the year or two that I left the newspaper as the photo editor, I began a pursuit of fine art in terms of using photography as a medium towards satisfying that constant need that I've had through my lifetime of creating beautiful work at the artistic level. So almost immediately after, right before and after I left the El Paso Times, I created a self-project for myself, and it was Mercado Juarez, Mercado Cuauhtémoc in Juarez. And I just felt that I needed to do that in terms of fulfilling my artistic inquietudes, which I understand in English is inquietudes. I felt that I needed to express myself through photography in a more intimate and personal level, which would translate into beautiful pieces of artwork, in this case, photographs.
As far as the different assignments that you've gone on yourself, you went, as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, to Spain in 1999. You took your family there, and you had quite an experience there.
Well, Spain has, you know, is dear to our heart. Primarily, I married my wife, whose dad was from Spain, so that was the immediate connection. And then as I, you know, I just did my ancestry.com. It was a gift to me. And then you realize, like, well, you know, your roots are there, obviously, all mestizos, as you may expect. And I always felt a connection to Spain. So in 99, we had an incredible opportunity to go to Spain, and I've always been daring and adventurous in some regards, and I felt that, you know, you only live once, and you have to do the most with what you have in life, i.e., you have to, in my case, you have to live life to its fullest in its full dimension that it's offered. So in this case, it was like, well, it's a really crazy adventure that most of our family, you know, thought, and friends thought it was nuts because it was risky in terms of financial and so forth. But I felt that it was a bit of a calling, and it was a perfect opportunity to celebrate the new millennium. It was 1999, and I felt that our children were right at the perfect age where they could tolerate, say, a drastic cultural move. And I wanted my children to experience the land of their grandfather, number one. And number two, I did not want them to lose the Spanish language, which is, has been always a mantra of mine, a very important almost family policy that I have, is for them to retain language. Because I feel that as soon as you start losing your native tongue, whether it's French or German, in this case Spanish, you begin to lose the footing of your own culture. And I've always been taught to retain, you know, the beauty of where you come from. So I felt that my children were losing their Spanish, and I thought that would be a great opportunity to for them to learn the language in depth, to learn the culture of their grandfather, and obviously of our family, because, again, we're descendants of, as a mestizo, you know, race.
You came over here from Mexico with your family at a young age. Was it difficult for you to adjust?
Yes. It was challenging. You know, there were a lot of spankings there in class. It was the least difficult for me because I was like seven or eight years old. So I can honestly say probably out of my whole family, I'm the one that speaks the best English because I had the greatest opportunity to learn English at a very young age, as compared to my brother, who was 17, 18, and almost immediately he gets thrown into the Vietnam War without a GD or without really speaking English. So that was pretty brutal for him. As compared to me, I had it easy. But in spite of that, the cultural, you know, obviously it's a challenge, but I'm lucky because I was so young that I seamlessly pretty much integrated into the community in El Paso. And El Paso is El Paso. I mean, there's still a lot of the Mexican culture here. So it's not as difficult as if I would have landed, say, perhaps, I don't know, in Wichita, Kansas, you know.
And part of our culture, when people think of Mexico, they think of course, tequila. They think of mariachis. They think of the mercados, the different travel adventures, but there's also a lot of hard work, a lot of great stories that go in behind, like tequila. And you decided to go in there and put together, well, I don't know how the assignment was put together. Did you go out there initially going out there to tell a story about tequila and how it was made? Because it turned out to be a fascinating, incredible journey that you take the viewers through when they get this book that's going to be available tomorrow at the museum. But these pictures tell the story of how tequila is made and how these people behind the stores, behind the bottles, behind, you know, the people who actually do the labor and the hard work.
The actual start of the whole project is based on ignorance, and the road to discovery of that ignorance is my tool, which has been the camera, right? I made a commitment when I left the newspaper to create beautiful work, to create positive work, because I was really, really emotionally kind of drained out with, again, the coverage of the daily newspaper. So I wanted to pursue art, and I made a commitment to use the camera to in that pursuit. So everything that I would declare a personal project, it would be in that pursuit. Kind of in the back of my mind, I made a point that anything that I would that would involve my Mexico, of who I am a native of, would be in a positive light. Because I think there's the general context of anything that we learn or know about Mexico is always in the narco sphere. I'm not denying that reality, but I'm also trying to shed light into the beautiful people of Mexico, its culture, and its landscape and traditions. So I was at this blind tequila tasting that I was invited to, and unknown to me, I just showed up. My friend told me, just bring a camera, and I did. I almost didn't show up to that tasting because I had plenty to do, but he insisted, and I said, okay, I'll go. And unknown to me, it was a private tequila tasting, and in that tasting, there was a gentleman by the name of Enrique de Colza, who ends up being the master distiller for Tequila Don Julio. And now he's the general manager. But I didn't know any of this. And in our conversation, he started talking about bulls, bullfighting. And I said, I have a great series that I've been working on for almost 10 years in Spain on the Toro de Lidia, the brave bull of Spain. And I showed him a couple of pictures and said, you should come to my friend's ranch outside Guadalajara. And I said, are you kidding me? You know, it's the hardest thing to get access to these animals. It's very, very challenging to photograph. And one of the greatest obstacles is access. And I said, I'd be more than happy to show up. And then right at that moment, I asked myself, what do I know about tequila? And even as a Mexican, in spite that I've drank it and been around it and so forth, I found myself considerably ignorant about how it's made, where it comes from, and so forth. And I said, well, before I go to, this Brave Bull Ranch, what if I go to your distillery and do a project, you know, do an essay? And he just said, yeah, you know, just bluntly just said, just come on over. And he gave me his card. So I did a lot of research. And to my surprise, there weren't too many photo books or almost no photo books on the story of tequila or the world of tequila. And that gave me a much more inspiration. And so a month later, I just showed up at the doorstep of this distillery. And quickly, within a day or two, I realized that that wasn't enough to do an essay or much less a book, you know. So it launched from there. And I had a plan B, which was mainly to visit multiple distilleries. And from that experience, I came back with a body of work that represented not only the world of tequila, but also the making of tequila, which involves the towns, the culture of the towns, and the people that make tequila.
And these people that make tequila, some of these people are the ones who just work very hard out in these fields with these plants. And you have some of these pictures where some of these men are just holding up. It looks kind of like a pineapple. From that process, it's hard to believe that from there comes the tequila, and then everybody else, forgets about the story.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say that, because every time that I sip tequila, I pay homage and honor to those people that work it, because it's incredibly laborious. It's very, very hard work when it comes to the jimadores. Jimadores being the harvesters that actually deleaf the blue agave plant, and then it exposes the core being where all the sugars are retained, and that's what's cooked and then mashed and then eventually turns into sweet water, what's called aguamiel, and that's, you know, fermented and distilled. But the men that work the fields are my heroes, so to speak, because it is a very, very difficult harvest and in some ways risky. But they're, you know, they're picking up, they're dealing with 50-pound, 100-pound piñas is what they call the core, which is basically a pineapple. And so they're massive, they're heavy, it's back-breaking work. But, you know, these guys, when you see them move around the fields, they're just poetic. They're so good at it and so professional that they make it look easy, but it's way, way beyond easy. So, again, anytime I sip on tequila, I pay homage to them.
And tomorrow you can find out more about what Joel has been talking about, that the book is called The Spirit of Tequila, and it features 89 photographs, which I'm sure that was very hard to pick those 89 out of all the pictures that you took.
Well, the book itself is 89 pictures. The exhibit is 39. Yeah. I mean, obviously you come back with a bunch of hundreds and hundreds of images, but I go back to my El Paso Times days where you get really good at editing photographs and you become good at it, so you make selections of the best imagery that tell the story.
Thank you so much, Joel, for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Joel Salcido. Again, the exhibit is called Aliento a Tequila, and that is going to be held at the Centennial Museum starting tomorrow. There's a book signing from 2 to 4. The name of the book is called The Spirit of Tequila, and that is going to be available for sale and a book signing, as Joel will be there. And then, as Joel mentioned, 39 exhibits that tell a little bit of the story of how tequila is made, the men and the people who work behind the scenes to bring that drink to your house, to your bar, to wherever you drink it. So much. Thank you for being with us again, Joel, very much.
Thank you, Louis. It's been a phenomenal privilege. I appreciate it.
Folks on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Lauren Terrazas. Our producer is Seth Van Meter. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.